LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosky Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosky Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico meets on the third Tuesday of each month. Their next meeting will be on the third Tuesday of February. Faith Bible Church, 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. One of their teachers, Ray Mondragon, is joining us today. Hi, Ray.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Well, we have a lot of fun. You've been supporting our program and sharing your faith and things about science and creation. And today we're going to ask you for a few definitions and things to kind of get kicked off with. But I want everybody to know that in addition to being a Creation Science Fellowship teacher, he also is a teacher with Chafer Seminary. He offers free expository Bible study resources and creation science presentations on his website, which is hisglorynm.com.
Very good.
And you do that for free.
Just as I paid you.
Absolutely free, right?
Absolutely free. Everything. Yeah, everything I've got.
Ray, that takes a lot of work to do all of that for free.
Well, it's ministry, and we want to serve the Lord and be available to Him, and whatever He provides and opens up, we want to step through those doors. And the website has been a tremendous way that God has given me opportunities to share with an audience beyond the small little tiny Bible studies that I lead.
Well, and you do this not only on the radio, but you also go to Ukraine. That's someplace you love to travel, and you train pastors, and you talk about this kind of information there as well.
That's just another door that the Lord has opened up, and you want to be faithful and walk through the doors the Lord opens up. So that's just one of them.
Ray, I want to start with something basic. Creation science. Is that the same as secular science?
It's similar, but creation science operates from a different worldview. And therefore, we view the natural realm from a biblical perspective. So with that little difference, sometimes that makes a huge difference in the interpreting of the data that is available in the natural realm. So the secularists, they will limit their observations to that that you can observe, and the interpretation has to fall within naturalism. So that limits other sources of information like revelation. So creation science takes into account revelation. And when we talk about revelation, we're talking about the Word of God.
So is it wrong for me to say if you are a secularist, you from the start are saying there cannot be a God. Therefore, anything that indicates God, we have to disregard.
Well, there are believers that work within the secular scientific community, but they're restrained within that system to come up with secular answers. So they are limited as well. But yes, I would answer your question. In general, what is implied is all there is what you can see and observe in the natural realm, which eliminates the supernatural realm where God exists. And the Bible gives us lots of revelation concerning God.
Give us some clarity on the difference between changes that occur within a species and so-called evolving or transitioning from one species to another.
It appears that God has built within each species a lot of flexibility, we might say. In other words, the ability to adapt to the environment. And those adaptations to the natural realm, whatever that environment may be, cold weather, hot weather, or whatever, or other changes within the environment, God has built within each species the ability, within certain ranges, to adapt. So that's what we mean when we talk about changes. This is not evolution. This is adaptation. Very, very different from what the evolutionist tries to convey in terms of changes that eventually lead to a new species, which there's no observable new species that has ever been observed in history.
Yet we have all seen the bent over ape figures on a chart where they slowly stand up to be Homo sapiens. Now there's always a little gap called the yep. missing link between right. that ape or that Cro-Magnon man and what we know today as a human being.
Yeah. In fact, the gap even precedes Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. Those have been demonstrated to be fully human.
Okay.
And there's other explanations for the humpback and
if you're a secularist, if you are an evolutionist, you believe that apes changed gradually over time, however many millions of years, and became a human being.
Eventually. That's in simple terms, that's evolution.
And if you are a creation scientist, what do you believe?
You say that each creature is separate and distinct and an individual creation of God himself, as described in Genesis chapter 1. Now, you have very broad categories in chapter 1, but each species is individually created by God.
So if you think about apes or monkeys, I mean, I don't know how to verbalize it, but the apes, I mean, if you really think about it, there's a lot of different kinds of monkeys.
Yep.
They didn't all change into men.
No.
And that seems to be part of the evidence that what they think is really, it was a hypothesis at one time. Darwin came mm-hmm. up with the evolution of the species, trying to say that a one-celled living organism evolved into a fish, then became, grew legs and walked out of the water and had lungs and all of that. But as you think about that,
don't forget the NFL football.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always use that. And that's particularly appropriate because I can tell you right now, scientifically, there's no amount of time that's been available. You name it. 60 billion, 10 million, whatever you want to number, whatever number. There's not enough time for a one-celled organism to become Tom Brady and throw touchdowns
for
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Absolutely. Not enough time, but there's lots of other reasons that we've tried to demonstrate that prevent it. Like there's no mechanism to get from even one-celled creature to multi-celled creature. There's no mechanism to get that advancement. When we talked about mutations, we tried to refute that whole idea.
Yeah, and you've told us the reasons why mutations are not mm-hmm. going to happen. And we see mutations. We see, you know, we're talking about mutations of the COVID virus. Mm-hmm. And I understand that literally there's thousands of those.
Right.
We're only hearing about a few of them as, you know, mm-hmm. Omicron. And I always love the ominous names they give all of these things. They're like, superheroes almost, you know, yeah. like they're supposed to scare us. I don't get that.
You know, well, there's a lot of politics involved too.
Yeah. So, men take a hold of this but there are variants of different things. But those are not, that's not an adaptation of the virus to the environment. Those are just things that are changing.
It's trying to survive. It appears that God has also built within all creatures, and this would include viruses, some mechanism that causes them to fight to survive, you might say. Mm-hmm. And these modifications of these viruses would fall under that category.
Well, one of the things we're going to focus on today is we're going to focus on the fossil record, because everybody, I think most everybody, has seen a fossil. You've seen something that has become stone. A lot of petrified wood. I know I've seen a lot of that, especially when you've gone to California and right. you've been to the redwood forests and you see some of these things that have become stone. So we're going to talk about the fossil record and how that supports the so-called theory of evolution. Did evolutionists at one time, used to refer to the fossil record as a defense of evolution?
Yeah, it was one of their main areas of defense and argument in favor of evolution. Now, this was during the time of Darwin when paleontology and geology were in their younger stages and had not done a lot of research. The great hope was that the fossil record would show this gradual movement from one species to another species. But today, 160 years after Darwin, the evolutionist has backed away somewhat from the fossil record because the fossil record actually goes against. In fact, it's a powerful argument against evolution rather than in support of it.
So when you find a fossil of a sea creature, there's some record that shows that didn't change into another species and go on living another 1,000 years?
There's no evidence in the fossil record of this gradual change from one species. In fact, to be more precise, the Bible uses the word kind, which is a broader category than species. So when God created creatures, he created them after the Hebrew word is min, and that Hebrew word describes a broader category than just species. But even within species, there's never been an observed change, and there's no record in the fossil record of this gradual movement from one species to another. So the fossil record actually undermines evolution and supports the idea of individual, unique creatures that God created.
And that's science. That's not something a bunch of Christian Bible thumpers made up.
No. In fact, let's backtrack here and let's discuss. What does science do?
I didn't mean to call you a name.
No, that's fine.
You're not offended by Bible thumper, are you?
I've been called worse. backtracking here, let's talk a little bit about science itself. What does science attempt to do? Science attempts to look at what you can observe in the natural realm, observations. And as you make observations, you come to some conclusions as to the relationships of what you're observing. And then you try to validate it by testing. So that's the essence of science. So when we talk about creatures, we can observe. When you talk about fossils, you can make observations and you can come to some conclusions. And these whole areas are somewhat controlled, you might say, or supported by one's worldview. So from a biblical worldview, we make similar, in fact, the same observations as the unbeliever does or the evolutionist does, but we come to different conclusions because we have some revelation that helps explain the natural realm. So we make observations on creatures, individual creatures. In fact, later on in our interview, we are going to look at positive evidence.
Right.
For creation. We've looked at the evidence that undermines evolution, but we're talking about fossils now, and we can make observations on the fossil record, and over time, 160 years now, geologists, paleontologists have been making these observations and the conclusions we come to, and the focus of our last session. And we gave reasons why the fossil record actually undermines the theory of evolution rather than supports it.
We're going to be back to talk more with Ray Mondragon. He's a creation science teacher with Creation Science Fellowship and Chafer Seminary. And we'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Calvary Church Elementary is now accepting applications for the 2022 school year. Join our growing community of families that value Christian education with a loving emphasis on whole child instruction, educating the student academically, physically, spiritually, and socially. Learn about our biblical form of instruction known as Paideia. For more information and online applications, go to calvarychurchelementary.com or call 338-4848. 888-338-4848.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and we care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acchkids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hey, Westside, Pastor Drew here. If you are looking for a small church community plus world-class Bible teaching, I want to invite you to Calvary Church Westside. We're a family-focused Bible teaching church at Coors Montano. Calvary Church Westside, where church is family.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. I get a lot of letters and emails from people, and here's a question I often hear. Will God forgive me for what I am about to do? Some Christians actually plan to do what they know is evil, thinking all will be okay after God forgives them. And yes, God may extend mercy to that person afterward, but you know what? That person may not be interested at all in genuine repentance after it's all over. And the fact is, odds are he won't repent. Just look at Romans chapter 1, where Paul speaks of those who knew God yet purposely turned to evil. As a result, they fell deeper into sin. So deep, they couldn't get out of it. You can sin assuming that God will forgive you. But once you do, there is no guarantee you will be able to truly repent. If you are purposing to disobey God in some matter, don't. Because when you plan evil, you are not the same person afterward.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
The first miracle Jesus ever performed took place at a wedding, where he turned water into wine. Like, what is Jesus doing solving a catering catastrophe, performing the services of a bartender? I mean, for thousands of years, the world waited for this coming Messiah. Then he showed up, and his job he is doing is making sure there's enough Cabernet at the wedding reception venue in Cana. Here's the reason Jesus was at that wedding. He was sending a message. The message is, wine in this world always runs out. In Scripture, wine is a picture of both healing and celebration. And that's the truth that the gospel solves. The things of this world, they all disappear and run out eventually. But the wine that Jesus offers, it never runs out.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLesko.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700, or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Creation science teacher Ray Mondragon in studio. Ray's website is forhisglorynm.com. In case you want to follow up on any of these comments, he has really a kind of a cool bibliography of different resources you can get into and look at. And again, we offer this information because especially our high school students, Ray, are right, getting out of high school. They're going to colleges. And colleges put a lot of pressure on you. I know they did when I was in college more years ago than I like to tell everybody. Yeah. Yeah. But I want people to be able to think through this. I don't want anyone on a university campus to look at a person of faith and say, oh, that creation science is not scientific, because right, it absolutely is. In fact, Ray, you were talking about scientific method, if you will, observing, and you know, maybe you come up with a hypothesis that species are evolving. Okay, well, how much longer are we going to give the evolutionist before we say, I think your theory's wrong?
Yeah,
I mean, it's being taught in our public schools, Ray. What are we doing?
Well, our public school, in fact, our secular system is controlled by unbelievers, so until we are able to make an impact, and that's one of the reasons we're doing this, is to try to help people that have never heard of an alternative to the secular view and evolution.
Okay, Ray, if somebody came to you right now and said, Ray, I have discovered the science that proves that there is no God, Would you be willing to listen to what they said?
Well, we should be. And if you can present some evidence, show me. And if not, then you need to do a little bit more thinking in your position. But
that's just it. You're not censoring that kind of thinking.
No.
But on the other side, they want to censor you from saying, look, there's all kinds of scientific evidence that supports what the Bible says.
Yep.
Historically?
Yep.
We've already talked about the Digat Tal al-Hammam, the ancient city of Sodom. Our friend Steve Collins and Gary Byers, who are local archaeologists, they've got some pretty cool historical information that was, in fact, published this past September and has really stirred up the whole world because a bunch of secular scientists have said, the ancient city at Tal al-Hammam was destroyed by a meteoric event. I call it God's bowling ball.
Yeah.
And it was destroyed by fire, and there's absolute scientific proof. And, oh, by the way, that's where the Bible says the ancient city of Sodom was. And all you have to do is go to Scripture and read about that. So
exactly.
I guess I'm just baffled why creation scientists aren't muzzling anybody and saying, don't talk about this. But the seculars, they want to muzzle the Christians.
Well, the bottom line, again, is basically man's heart is hardened and rebellious against God. And the truth actually threatens them. So if there's truth to creation science and it points to accountability to God, which truth does, then that's a threat. And you have to kind of get around that. And if you need to censor, then that's what the secular world tends to do.
Are there creation scientists? I'm just going to say scientists that believe in creation. How would that be?
Yep.
That have had theories, let's say 20 years ago. They put out a hypothesis, they test it, and it changes their own thinking as well.
Oh, absolutely. Creation science is not static, just like science is not static. The more you research, the more you study, the more you discover. And there have been some thoughts. For example, within the creation science community, there was this idea at one time, I think it's abandoned now, that there was this canopy of water before the Genesis flood that circulated, obviously, around the planet. But that idea has been abandoned primarily because in more recent years, people like John Baumgartner have come up with better explanations for the biblical text that are actually tied to some actual things in the natural realm, like the Mid-Atlantic Ridge and the whole area of tectonics, the whole study of that area. So our thinking has changed, and it'll change further as we learn more. But the framework is within the biblical framework and the revelation that God has given us concerning the natural realm. And that's the basic difference between creation science and what I describe as secular science.
Are many of the layers of the geological column named for the fossils that they find in those layers?
Yes. In fact, that's how they identify any individual layer. It's based on the fossil record. So it's a theoretical record that the paleontologist and the secular geologist have come up with. But there's an alternative explanation for the entire geological column that is derived from biblical thoughts that we have in the book of Genesis and other places in the Bible.
Talk to us about, and we're really reviewing what we talked about last time, why is the fossil record, why doesn't it support evolution?
Well, one of the interesting characteristics of the bottom layer to start off with, they call it the Cambrian layer. It is very distinct from the Precambrian layer. In fact, the boundary is called the Great Unconformity. Now, this is by secularists. That Cambrian layer, even the secularists identify it as the explosion of life. And that by itself argues against evolution. You don't have this slow movement from one creature to another creature and all these transitional forms. But in the Cambrian, you have very complex creatures and a variety of them appearing abruptly. In other words, in fact, if you use an evolutionary thinking or idea, there's 1.5 billion. Now we argue with the time frame as well, but 1.5 billion years of missing fossils that don't account for what you find in the Cambrian layer between the Precambrian and the Cambrian layer. So you have abrupt appearance of life forms, totally contrary to evolution. You also have very complex life forms, not only in the Cambrian, but at all levels of the geological column, very complex. You don't have what evolution says, this gradual movement from more from simple to more complex. Thirdly, which is part of it, no transitional forms in any of the layers besides the Cambrian. So you don't have any transitional forms.
So there's some layer, and you always hear about these on the news, where they're finding bones of so-called ancient men.
Yep.
Or women.
And they're towards the top of the geological column.
So somebody's always saying, oh, the missing link possibly has been discovered. Is the missing link ever going to be discovered?
Not according to the biblical worldview, because it does not exist.
Yeah.
So
there was never a day where an ape with its mate bore a man.
Right.
It didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. Man was created distinctly and separately.
Right. And uniquely. And in the image of God. That's something you can't discover from the natural realm, and you need revelation for that explanation. But the missing link is just another example of a desire to find and to search for these transitional forms. And these transitional forms don't exist in any gap between any of the creatures in the entire geological column. And they don't exist in terms of a bridge between mankind and primates.
In any science class in a public school in New Mexico, you've got this chart of ancient man on the wall. If you were intellectually honest as a teacher and you said, students, I'd like you to review, this might be kind of fun, review the available science for what has been discovered since these charts were put up. Mm-hmm. I can tell you they were up, and I was in high school a lot longer than 40 years ago. They were up then.
Yep.
If they just reviewed that, and they came up with the data, would that hypothesis be totally disproven and it's time to rip those posters off the wall?
Absolutely. In fact, like you said, even the whole idea of evolution should be abandoned, but it's not, because the unbeliever controls our system, our educational system, and they don't have an alternative explanation except God as creator. And if God is in fact creator, then all mankind is accountable to him as creator. And that is something that is unthinkable to an unbeliever.
But there's a new hypothesis, punctuated equilibrium, and we're going to talk about that when we come back with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Use your brain is the challenge my coaches would repeat over and over as they taught us about teamwork and winning championships. Hi, this is Jim Williams, host of KLYT's afternoon talk show, ABQ Connect. Mixed messages are coming at us every day from every source imaginable. Guests on ABQ Connect help bring clarity with a faith perspective to the issues of the day, from healthy eating to politics, sports, science, faith, and more. Join us Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. for ABQ Connect, or listen at your leisure on the web at abqconnect.online.
We're surrounded by traumatic events. It can make you feel powerless.
How can I help?
How can I make a difference?
The International Fellowship of Chaplains provides training to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of victims during times of crisis. IFOC will be holding a training at Calvary Chapel Southwest March 21st through the 25th. Discount available if registered by February 21st. For more information about the training or registration, call 270-5839, abqchaplaincorps.org.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. When the Taliban took control of Afghanistan after the Soviet withdrawal, some Afghans welcomed them, thinking they might bring order to the chaos. But instead, the group ushered in a radical Islamist interpretation of Sharia law that affected everyone in the country, especially women and girls. Today, the Taliban is ruling Afghanistan once again, but we know that God is ultimately in control. We also know that more Afghans are following Christ today than were 20 years ago, and many have made the decision to stay in the country as his witnesses, despite the threat posed by the Taliban. Pray for these courageous brothers and sisters.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
The KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. Ray, if you listen to any pastor, any person that's going by a biblical worldview and who's listened to Jesus and what he had to say, you're going to hear people say, look, don't just believe what I say. Check it out.
Absolutely.
And that's not just check it out in the Word of God, but that's
right.
Check it out.
Scientifically
Period.
As well.
That's
Absolutely.
Right. And you don't hesitate to tell people that.
No. In fact, we encourage people to check things out, not only what we say in terms of the Bible. That's what Paul encouraged the Bereans that checked out the scriptures, but that would apply also in the scientific area. We need to
I want to encourage people, if you're listening now, you may be, a physicist. You may be into whatever, paleontology, archaeology, whatever you might be, and you may have doubts about what Ray's saying. I would love for you to go to Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico's meetings the third Tuesday of each month. Faith Bible Church, 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. These are free.
Right.
They're absolutely free. Families, a lot of homeschool families go,
yes,
and they listen to a presentation. And many times there are very high-level scientists giving the presentations.
Yeah, we've had world-class scientists. In fact, two of them founded the New Mexico group, one from Sandia National Labs and another one from Los Alamos National Labs. Now, they've gone on to do more research and have moved out of town, but they were the original founders of our organization here in Albuquerque.
So right before the break, I talked about the so-called theory of evolution. Is that hypothesis has pretty much been exhausted and found to be lacking.
Yes.
What's punctuated equilibrium?
That's an attempt by the evolutionists to actually be more accurate in their description of the fossil record, because the fossil record doesn't show this gradual progress that we talked about. Rather, it shows stasis, in other words, you see the species in the rocks, or even broader than that, the kinds in the rocks. And then all of a sudden, now you see something new. So you have this punctuation, you might say, or this abrupt change from stasis. And then you have stasis again. So punctuated equilibrium is an attempt to actually be more honest in terms of interpreting the fossil record. I think George Gaylord Simpson, an evolutionist, one of the world's most famous one, is the one that came up with that idea. Now, I haven't heard much even about that. It was somewhat of a proposal to better explain the fossil record. So the bottom line is the evolutionist does not like to talk about the fossil record much anymore because it does not support his theory.
Is there any objective scientific evidence for creation?
Absolutely. In fact, virtually every science gives us some evidence that there is a God and that there is a creator and that everything that we can observe had to come about as a result of a creative hand. In fact, there's an entire movement, the intelligent design movement. This is within science itself. It kind of bridges a little bit of creation science and secular science, and not all of the intelligent design scientists are believers, but they have seen, and as they make observations, they see that there has to be something more than just naturalism, so they come up with the idea that there has to be an intelligent designer. Now, the intelligent design movement doesn't specify, but we as more overt supporters of Scripture would in fact identify the God of the Bible as the creator. But the answer is absolutely there's lots of evidence from virtually every science. And particularly some of the newer sciences today that look at the cellular level in biology, cellular biology, microbiology, all of these areas, genetics. Many of these are newer sciences that have come about in the last 50 or so years. Those areas today are totally demolishing the idea of evolution. In fact, a writer by the name of Michael Denton, he has written a book called Evolution in Crisis. Now, it's like 30 years old now. But it's a classic, and the title of his book is Evolution in Crisis because I don't know if he still is, but he was an evolutionist, microbiologist, and as he saw the research coming.
What he really is a scientist.
Yeah.
He's actually testing.
And he's honest.
Yeah.
And as he evaluated the evidence, he came to the conclusion that evolution is a faulty theory. In fact, I've got a statement here. He says, ultimately, and this is a prediction that he makes, ultimately the Darwinian theory of evolution is no more nor less than the great cosmogenic myth of the 20th century. Now, he says 20th century because that's when he writes his book. In fact, that's a statement out of the conclusion of his book. And the conclusion, the overall conclusion, is basically that evolution just does not have the evidence to back it up, and particularly at that microbiological level, the cellular level. And there's been other scientists like him that have shown that evolution is impossible.
Well, when you talk about observation, you have to deploy didactic reasoning, and you have to look at as much empirical evidence as you can, and you have to deploy logic.
Yep.
As you're observing. So here's a piece of logic that I read many, many years ago in Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Now that book's got to be 30 or 40 years old.
Yep.
But I remember him talking about, look, let's take an evolutionist. He believes everything happened by a cosmic random accident. Everything from the origins
natural
of life.
Natural causes.
Natural causes. And that's created changes in the species and adaptations and the transition of one species to another. Okay, so that's this big cosmic accident. But now you mentioned today that cellular biologists and things, they've now uncovered the amazing DNA strands and the complexity of that. So here's what Josh McDowell would say. He'd say, if you remember the old Timex commercials where it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Well, Josh McDowell would say, what's the mathematical possibility that you took a sledgehammer, busted up that Timex watch, and threw it in the Rio Grande River? what's the mathematical possibility it would reassemble itself into its original form anytime in the next, you name it, how many years? Well, there's none. There's no possibility. Now, some statistician may come up with it, but that's the kind of thing that a scientist would say, look, this, everything that we know about nature, everything that we know, that the Bible says about, the creation itself. So Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, DNA strands, cells, we can't see those. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. So
that's creation.
They are without excuse. And Ray, it sounds like to me, God's saying we don't have an excuse for not seeing him as the creator.
Absolutely. And for some reason, I'm losing my voice, but you're absolutely correct. And that's the revelation that we have. In other words, the Romans passage, God gives us insight into the natural realm.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break and let Ray get back his voice a little bit. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, remember it's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers, commercial and residential property management. Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship teacher. He's also a professor at Chafer Seminary. Travels around the world teaching Bible studies. A lot of resources available to you for free at ForHisGloryNM.com. Just again, another great resource. And I'm liking more and more, Ray, that a lot of pastors are posting things. I know Skip Heitzig's got YouTube and you can download notes and everything else, and you provide a lot of those same type of resources on your website.
Well, is this part of ministering and doing what God has called us to do, and we need to just be faithful to him and let him utilize us in the way that he so desires.
What's your reaction when somebody questions what you've said?
Well, I welcome them to question it, But I encourage them to check it out, like you said earlier, and do a little research, do a little study. And like you said, not only my website, but there's ICR that has their website, Answers in Genesis, Creation International, and there's others as well. In fact, lesser known ones that have lots of resources. And as creation science moves forward, these resources just keep coming. Books, videos, things that are available to churches and everyday believers.
What's funny to me is I know this because I've observed it over the last 40 years since going to college. There are people specifically trying to look at what the Bible says and disprove it. We look at something like evolution, and it is disproving itself.
That's right. That's right.
And all of the people that have come against the Bible, I've not seen anything that does anything. The results have been it proves what the Bible says is true. They're having the opposite effect as they attack it.
Yep. Those like C.S. Lewis started out as a skeptic, eventually become some of the most ardent defenders of the Bible after they've checked out the data. Mm-hmm. So we always encourage people to check out the scriptures, check out the supporting data that gives us evidence that the Bible is in fact the Word of God.
Give us some of the scientific observations that have been made at every level of life that kind of taught that show the incredible design in what God has created.
Well, as I mentioned, every science, not just biology, but there's literally millions of examples from biology itself that do give evidence of at least intelligent design. In other words, this is observable. And an example is, we used it before, a cell phone. If you've never encountered a cell phone and you look at it and go inside and open it up and see all of the mechanisms within it, you're making observations. And in those observations, you're coming to the conclusion, well, there's nothing in nature that would bring all of these parts together and arrange them in the proper way to be able to produce what we have as a cell phone. You do the same thing in terms of a biological system. And you're going to come to a similar conclusion that there's nothing in the natural realm, not evolution, but there has to be a designer, just as there's a designer of a cell phone and a producer, a manufacturer of cell phones.
Ray, is a single-celled organism more or less complicated than a cell phone?
It's far more. In fact, some of these creation scientists that are doing research in this area have come to the conclusion that one single cell is more complicated than anything that you can see in that anything that man has made, which would include a cell phone.
And what's funny is microelectronics, like, you know, cell phone are becoming smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea. DNA is way smaller than anything in this phone.
Absolutely.
And way more complicated.
Absolutely. So there's nothing that man has made that is more complex than even one single cell.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about, some of the different things at every level of life that you mentioned to me.
Well, you can see Michael Behe, for example, has come up with the concept of irreducible complexity. Now, that's a word and a phrase that he uses. And in his book, Darwin's Black Box, which is another classic, he talks about, well, to begin with, the title, Darwin's Black Box. In Darwin's time, a single cell was like this black box that we might use today. I think the analogy that he's drawing is, at one time you had a television in a black box. And you just see the external, and the external just has a screen and a box. And if you look inside, you see all of the components and all of the complexity. Behe uses that analogy in Darwin's time, when you looked at a cell, it just looked like, oh, just some protoplasm with a nucleus and fluids and other things, but very simple. But Darwin couldn't see within the black box. Today, microbiology gives us all of the components and how they interact and how they are actually individual machines with great complexity. And what he means by irreducible complexity, if I may quote him, he says, by irreducible complexity, I mean a single system composed of several well-matched interacting parts that contribute to the basic function, wherein the removal of any one of the parts causes the system to effectively cease functioning. And there are literally millions of these irreducible components within a single cell.
Now, what was Michael Behe's background?
He's a microbiologist.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's done lots of research in that area. To kind of illustrate what he says, he uses just a simple mouse trap as an example. Now, if you've had a old-time mouse trap, you know, today we have all kinds of newer things, but a mouse trap basically is composed of five parts. You have the base, you have a holding bar, you have a spring, and then you have a hammer that squeezes the mouse, and then you have a catch. And when the mouse gets the cheese, the catch releases the hammer and kills the mouse. The illustration is, if you take away any one of those parts, the mousetrap doesn't work. And that's a simple example. At a more complex level within the cell, there are, like I say, literally millions of components that are irreducibly complex. You take away any one component and that one mechanism won't work, and that'll cause lots of other problems within cells. So a cell is extremely complex. In fact, unimaginably complex.
Ray, there's also evidence of design and things that are not necessarily living forms, like the universe.
The universe itself, yes.
I mean,
incredible design.
Yeah, incredible design. And the things like gravity. How do you explain gravity?
Yeah, that was a
you know, the ball spinning around, usually you fly off of a spinning ball, right?
Yep.
But we don't fly off.
No. And gravity, even today we have difficulty understanding all of the science behind what gravity does. Well, we know what it does, but we don't know.
Can't explain it?
Yeah, we can't explain it.
But can't explain why some of us were more bound by gravity than others, especially when going in for a layup.
That's right.
I couldn't understand that, Ray, why I couldn't jump as high as some of my teammates.
Exactly.
What's anthropocentric?
The anthropocentric principle, that's just another area that studies all of these broad components throughout the universe. And in a simple description, it appears that the universe was created in order for there be not only life, but for mankind, anthropocentric. In other words, all of the factors, all of the constants, all of the even astrophysics seems to be in place in order that there be the possibility of the existence of human beings on the planet. So this area, in fact, it's an area of creation science, and there's books out there that describe a lot of these components and observations that you can make. These are observations, scientific observations, that indicate that you just tweak one little thing and life would be impossible on Earth. So you have all of these things coming together in order that humans can exist.
And there is some mathematician, I'm sure, that's put together the possibility that if all this happened by accident, there is a stat for that. There's a probability that it could have happened.
Yeah, and the probability is virtually impossible. In other words, you need so many things that contribute to who we are as human beings that it just screams out at us that there has to be a creator.
Tell us how the second law of thermodynamics supports creation science.
Well, it actually goes totally contrary to evolution. The second law of thermodynamics is the law of decay, for example, in biological systems. It's the law of things deteriorating and falling apart. And the idea of evolution is that you have advancement, but there's no observable principle that shows advancement. But instead, one of the most established laws of science is, in fact, the second law of thermodynamics that comes out of thermodynamics but has impact on virtually every science, is this idea of things running down, things decaying, things falling apart.
And the next show, I'll just use myself as an example of the second law of thermodynamics.
Well, you could include me as well. But yes, we just see it everywhere. We see it in biology, the aging process, the tendency towards illness, and eventually towards death. That's the second law, operating on biological systems. But you see it in mechanical systems as well. Inefficiency, the inability to maximize energy. There's always a loss of energy whenever you have a system operating. So that's the second law. So that's the opposite of what evolution requires and teaches that you need in order for an explanation of evolution.
Who's divided up the scientists into evolution versus creation science? Can't everybody just be a scientist and observe things together? But you still have this segment of science that's saying there can be no God.
Well,
Are hearts hardened? I mean, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah,
bottom
line, it is a spiritual thing. Bottom line is the unbelieving world is in rebellion against God, and he has to intellectually have some explanation. We have to have an explanation. Where did we come from? We just need that. And the best that the secularists just come up with is naturalism and the idea of evolution. And it's a substitute for the God of the Bible, because man is in rebellion and does not want to be accountable to the God that created all things.
Ray, I have a tendency to get in arguments, which is not a good thing for the kingdom. And I want to encourage our listeners that if you're talking to a college professor, somebody that's almost accosted you, because that happened to me, or even somebody that is gracious and just wants to have the conversation and convert you to their way of thinking, can our listeners be unequivocally confident in the fact that our Creator, God, and His Son, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life, and that they are the basis of science?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I believe that science, from the biblical worldview, actually supports everything that we have in the Bible. So we can trust the Bible, and to answer your question, absolutely, we can believe what God has said. In fact, I would encourage us to not only study the Bible, but trust in it and allow the Lord to use it in our lives and to reach the unbeliever.
One more time, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.